with Chanukah right around the bend, let's take a look at the mitzvah of the menorah. Of course, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is only Darabonon, but in the Torah we have a mitzvah of lighting the menorah which stood in the Heichal in the Beis HaMikdash. And if you look in Parshas Baaloscha, in Bamidbar Perek Ches, the Torah says, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe leimor." God gives a command to Moshe, "Daber el Aaron v'yamata elov behaloscha es haneros el mul pnei haminorah yairu shivas haneros." Very interesting that the word Baaloscha, as its shoresh and its root, is aliyah. You know, it really means to let the candles climb up, meaning light them until the flame shoots up. And where should this flame be? It should be el mul pnei haminorah. What does this mean, el mul pnei haminorah? Literally, it means opposite or corresponding the pnei haminorah. Now, the pnei haminorah means the middle of the menorah. You know, we have seven candles, and the middle candle is the pnei haminorah. And it's very interesting that the tzivui, the mandate to Aaron, is to set up these candles, the flame of which would shoot up. And where would it be located? It's going to be el mul pnei haminorah, which means keneged the middle candle, which is called the emtsa'i. And it says Ya'iru Shivas HaNeros, which is a little bit strange, because Lechora, if he's lighting the Neros Keneged corresponding the middle Ner, it should have said El Mul Shisha HaNeros, because they're all told seven. Vayas Kein Aaron, and now the Torah unusually tells us that Aaron actually fulfilled this mandate. And what did he do? El mul pnei haminorah, hela neroseha. So these neros would go up. Again, the emphasis here is on the flame shooting up. And of course it would be el mul pnei haminorah, which means keneged corresponding the middle of the menorah. Kasha tziva shemes mosh. We're going to soon see that the Chazal are going to make a big deal about the fact that Moshe did exactly as he was commanded, that Aaron did exactly as he was commanded to do. But here at Bosai, we have the Rashi, the very famous Rashi, and very difficult Rashi to understand. The very last parsha that we had, which is Naso, describes the Chanukah Samizbeach and the gifts that the Shvatim respectively gave for this great celebration of the completion of the Mishkan. Immediately following after, without skipping a beat, the Torah gives Aaron the mitzvah of the menorah. Rashi asks, "Lama nisvacha parshas haminorah leparshas hanesiim?" There doesn't seem to be any logical connection and justification for the fact that the parsha of the menorah is contiguous to the parsha of the Nesiim. In terms of the Mishkan itself, there were so many different dimensions of the Mishkan, all of which were already commanded previously. Why the focus on the menorah? Says Rashi, "Lefishek shara Aaron Chanukas Hanesiim, Chol Sha'az Daito." Aaron had what we call a Chalisha Sadas. He was very down and sort of despair that Lo Hoya Imoyim, he did not participate in the Chanukas. In the Chanukas Hamizbeach, when the Mishkan was completed, Lohu v'lo shifto, neither he nor Aaron, or the Bnei Aaron, the Kohanim. In other words, all the other Shvatim participated in the bringing of the various Karbanos in honor of the Chanukas HaMishkan, and the only one that was left out was Aaron. So Aaron was overwhelmed with a sense of despair. Why is he left out? God comes to tell Aaron and sort of uplift his spirits when he's down a little bit. Chayecha is a lashon shvua, you know, like an oath. Shalcha gedola mishalahem. I have in store for you a mitzvah that I'm about to command you that's even greater than their mitzvah. Sha'ata meit madlik umeitiv es haneros. You'll get the mitzvah of lighting the candelabra in the Mishkan. And we want to raise here two questions. Question number one, what's the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Aaron at this point, Shalcha Gedola Mishalahem? What word would you use, you know, if you had to sort of capture the spirit or the purpose, the objective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point, if Aaron is down?
Consolation.
Excellent. It's a nechama. So my first question to you is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to Menachem, Aaron, then it must be that he's coming to give Aaron something that's even greater than what the Nesiim had done, the princes in the previous parasha at the Chanukah HaMizbeach. And in fact, Rashi's language seems to indicate that I'm correct, because it says, Shalcha Gedola Mishalahem, that there's something superior about your mitzvah that supersedes the mitzvah of the Nesiim. And my question to you is, well, of all the various dimensions of the Avodas HaMishkan, and there are many, why the focus on the menorah? That's question number one. And question number two is, if for some reason the menorah is very special, is very unique amongst the array and the whole constellation of the mitzvot of the Mishkan, then what is it about the menorah that makes it superior to other dimensions of the Mishkan? For example, I would have suggested that maybe the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, which is only kosher for Aaron, and no other Kohen could do it, that would have been fantastic, because that brings about the atonement, the apex of Kedushas Yom HaKippurim. But instead, the menorah. And notice also that there's an emphasis here on Shalcha Gedola Mishalahem. Yours is greater than theirs. Well, give me a clue. Why? Why is this greater than theirs? The Ramban takes a stab at this. And you know, I'm a big fan of the Ramban Al HaTorah. Everybody should be. I hold it's the Sefer Musar of the entire Torah. There's no Sefer Musar in Hashkafa that's more important than the Ramban. But here I have to admit that although I empathize with this Ramban, because I know that he's got a tall order here, but I'm not sure I could really justify the Ramban's presentation. Take a look. Lo nisbar li, it never became clear to me. Lama nechamo, why did Hashem console Aaron badlokas haneros with specifically this mitzvah of lighting the candelabra? Lo nechamo, why not console him b'ktores? Now take a look at the ktores. You see, we might have focused on the continuity or the daily nature of the obligation of the menorah, as opposed to my suggestion about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which is only once a year. But if you're looking for something that's continuous, some sort of mitzvah that's incumbent upon Aaron on a daily basis, says the Ramban, I have an excellent candidate. And that's the ktores. The Ketores has to be burnt on the Mizbeach Hazov, twice a day, Boker V'erev. And not only that, at the very end of the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu in Vizos HaBrach is going to bestow the various blessings on the different Shvatim, when he gets to the Shevet of Levi, he's going to tell them, Yasimu Ketores Ba'pecha, that there's something very special. Chazal say that the Ketores had a power of Kapora that supersedes all the other kaparas. For example, the Ketores is something that has a skula power, some sort of metaphysical secret power that's inherent in it, to bring ashirus, to bring all sorts of different blessings. And it's daily. Furthermore, b'chol ha-karbonos, forget about the Ketores. The Ketores is not really technically a karbon, although it is burnt on the Mizbeah, but it doesn't have all the dinim of the avodah. Every other karbon requires four different avodos. And basically, what's common to all those four, I'm actually oversimplifying a more complicated question, is that you need a Kohen. That's a little bit unfair to say, because Shechita, which is the first of the four Avodos, is Ksheir Bizar. But as a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us that it was the Kohen who did the Shechita. It was not the Yisrael. But in any event, these are major Avodos. And not only that, there's something called a Mirchas Chavita. This is a very unique carbon that is singled out for the Kohen. Chazal tell us that the other Kohenim need to bring this Mirchas Chavita only on the first day that they serve. That was part of the Chinuch to be meschanich them for the avodah, but the Kohen Gadol every day was a brand new day for him. It was a new day of chinuch, and he had his own karmon on a daily basis. And now he mentions my issue of avodas Yom HaKippurim. Now, what's unique about that? The Rambam could have said that it's so significant because the whole kapara depends upon the avodah of Yom HaKippurim, the Shnei Asirim, Sozal Hashem, Sozal Azazel. But instead, the Rambam says She'enik Sheira Ella Bo. That means you need the Kohen Gadol.
Isn't there something, though, very inherently
unique,
sacred about the Ketoret? Something inherently.
Yeah. So you're really asking the Rabban's question. Why didn't that Kodesh Baruch Hu tell Aaron that you have the Ketoret? Why did he waste his time with the menorah? Obviously, we're going to try to find something that's unique about the menorah, and the Rabban, in order to justify that, he's going to tell us something unique about the menorah. But before we get to that, I just don't want to skip one other point in this Rabban. He says, "Einok sheril above v'nichnas bo lifnai v'lifnim." There's only one time during the entire year that anyone, even the Kohen Gadol, is allowed to enter into the Kodesh HaKodesh. Again, the Ramban here is very difficult in light of the Gaon Shita. The Vilna Gaon was of the opinion that the Kohen Gadol could go Lefnai V'Lefnim any day of the year, as long as he did the identical Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. It's very interesting. If you look at the Parsha of Avodah Yom HaKippur, which is an Achrimos, the Torah doesn't actually specify anywhere there that it's on Yom HaKippurim. And the Gaon says that any day of the year. But in any event, the Ramban doesn't seem to reflect the sheet of the Gaon, because he's saying She'enak Shere El Bo B'Yom HaKippurim, the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, V'Nichnas Bo Lefnai V'Lefnim. As if to say that only on Yom HaKippurim he could go in. Now, it could be the Gaon would claim that the Ramban means that the Avodah is called the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. But that avodah is a matir that permits the Kohen Gadol to go into the Kodesh Kodashim any day of the year. Again, you could push it into the Ramban. But here the Ramban goes a step further. V'shehu Kodosh Hashem and Omeid Beheichalo L'sharso U'levarech B'shmo. This is fascinating. At this point, the Ramban introduces another dimension of the Kohen, and that is the Amida for the Bracha. We know that the Kohen had to be Mavarach ba'Amida.
You mean
the Birchas Kodem had to be given and bestowed upon the people ba'Amida. And not only that, the Ramban says that that's specifically related to the Kohen in the Mishkan. Because if you notice, the Ramban says, Omid Be'Cholo. You know, today we have the Birchas Kodem outside the Mishkan. It's a kind of a mirror image of what the real McCoy was, which took place in the Beis HaMikdash. That's where you receive the bracha from the Kohen. The Shifto Kula Mishar Selukenu. And let's talk about the fact that the Shevet of Aaron are the Misharsim of God. I mean, according to one opinion, they are the Shlucha Derachmaninu. They are the agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Odin, furthermore, Matam Lechashlish Sadah Zuv Alo Karbono Gadol Mishal Nesim Shehikriv Biyomim Ahem Karbonos Harbe Kol Yimei Amaluim. In other words, there were two parallel services in the Mishkan. There was one which was the special celebration of the dedication of the Mizbeach. That was done and implemented by the princes of Israel, the Nesim. But then at the same time, there was something called Shivas Yimei Amiluim, which terminated on the eighth day with the beginning of the Avodah. So that those karbonos were brought indeed by the Kohanim, and only by the Kohanim. So the Ramban is asking two questions in effect. Number one, if Aaron indeed had some sort of Chalish Sadas, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to focus and single out the menorah for his Nechama? Number two, I don't understand, says the Rabban, exactly why he had the Chalish Sadas, since on those very days of the Chanukah HaMizbeach, the Kohanim were involved in the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. So basically, the Ramban has to come up with some answer to justify the focus here on the menorah. Aval inyan Haggadah zu, this statement in the Haggadah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Menachem Aaron with the menorah, remez, this is an allusion min ha-parsha, from our parsha of Balos Chasaneris, the mitzvah of lighting the candelabra of the Mishkan, al Chanukah shel Neros. Chanukah, what's he referring to? You guessed it. He's referring to our Chanukah. Shahoisa bebayis sheni al yidei Aaron ubanov. In other words, he's saying that the children of Aaron represent Aaron, the descendants of Aaron, and they would light the Chanukiah in at the time of the Bayis Sheni. Ritzoni lomar chashmonoi kohen gadol ubana. So this is amazing. We're plugging into the parasha Baloscha, the mitzvah of Hanukkah Haneros Shebeheichal, the chashmonoim who would light the menorah with that great miracle at the time of the Yevanim, at the time of the Greeks. Says the Ramban, I found two different sources to support this. Number one, V'loshen Hazem Atzasi Megil Astaril Benu Nisim Shehizkir Agarazu Ve'amar Ra'isi V'midrash Kevin Shekrivu Shneimasar Shvatim Lo Hikriv Shevet Levi. He had Chalish Sadas Amal HaKadosh Baruch L'Moshe Daber Al Aron V'yamart Lov Yesh Chanukah Acheres. There's another opportunity to light a Chanukah. She yesh ba lokas neres vani osa ba li Yisrael al yidei banecha. Okay, those are the words you have to underline over here. Ani osa ba li Yisrael al yidei banecha. Everything that's going to happen in hadlokas ner Chanukah is all going to be through you. Al yidei banecha. In other words, you the Kohanim are going to create or cause the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Okay? We don't understand what's going on yet, but I'm just trying to work out the text here. Nisim uchua v'chanukah shekru al shmam v'chanukas b'nei chashmanoi u'lefichach hismich parsha zu l'parshas chanukas ha-mizbeach. So the justification for the smichas ha-parsha is the Chanukah of B'nai Chashmonoi, which is going to be a result of you, Aaron, and your descendants. Obviously, the Kohanim who played such a great role in the miracle of Chanukah. That's source number one, that's called the Megillah Star. Source number two is the Elam Deinu, which also appears in other places. Omol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Lecha Amar Li Aaron Al Tisyare. Don't be anxious about it. I have something greater for you. Hakarbanos, the karbanos which are brought by the Nesiim. Now watch this. Kol's mancha based on Migdash Kaim Heim Noagim. The karbanos only apply as long as the Migdash stands. With the Churban Abayis, there's no longer a mitzvah of what? Of karbanos. Avalaneros, and here the Ramban adds, Kaviyachal adds another word into the pasuk. Li'olam el mul p'nei ha-menorah iru. And the word li'olam. What does li'olam mean? Even after the churban, after the destruction of the bayis. V'chal bracha shenasati chol avarches p'nei Yisrael einam b'telim li'olam. V'hinei kvar yadua. Says the Ramban, what's going on over here? We all know she'ein beis hamikdash kaima karbanos b'telim le'churbano, that if the beis hamikdash is gone and there's no possibility of bringing karbanos, is afaneros b'telim. The mitzvah of lighting the menorah is in the heichal. If there's no heichal, the Beis Hamikdash is down, and there's no mitzvah of lighting the menorah. So what does this Yilamdenu teach us? How is he telling him that I'm going to give you a mitzvah that even after the Churban HaBayis is your particular service, namely the menorah? That's not true. To the same extent that the korbanos are completely null and void, they terminate with the churban, so too, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is null and void and terminates with churban. Says the Ramban, avolo romzo, what they were alluding to is el l'neros chanukas chashmanoi, Sheino heges afli achar churba v'golusim. The Rebbe's here is to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which we call Chanukah Sachashmoy, which applies even after the Churban Abayis. Now wait a second. This is a little bit strange. We know that the mitzvahs divide up into two major categories, Doraisa and Darabon. The mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, of Chashmonai, which Ritzim will fulfill in a few days, is only what? Darabonah. The Torah itself is presenting the mitzvah to Oraisa, which is counted in the 613 by all the Moniyah mitzvahs of the Kohen, to daily light the menorah. And now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding Aaron in the mitzvah of Aloskas HaNeros, he's giving him a mitzvah which is Noheges L'doros, Afil Lachar Churba, namely Chanukas Chashmonai. What do you mean he's giving it to him? That mitzvah was established by the Rabbanon after the great issue of Chanukah. Very strange. Does everybody sense my confusion? As I said at the outset, the Ramban is the greatest. The greatest. If the Ramban was here, I would kiss him and hug him because I love the Ramban. But here, he's got me very perplexed because the Torah is talking about the mitzvah of Ner Shebemigdash, not about the mitzvah of the Rabbanon of Ner Chanukah. So to say that the Nechama here is with the Ner Chanukah, which is a mitzvah of Rabbanon. It's a brand new mitzvah which the Rabbanon instituted.
And everyone,
when Aaron is being given what at this point? The mitzvah of Ner Shebemigdash. I don't get it. What do you want to say?
And how could he say it? Furthermore, how could he say it? Was it 1,200 years later? Yeah. When he was writing that he could talk about what was... It's more than 1,200 years. He's tying Chanukah into what Aaron was doing more than 1,200 years
the
prior.
The not the Ramban.
Yeah. Oh, it's the Medrash that's doing
it. Well, again, you know, I'm not blaming the Ramban, but the Ramban should have given me some insight, you know.
But it must be that the root of our mitzvah midrabanan to light candles on Chanukah in some way stems from the godless of that original mitzvah of lighting the menorah.
Well,
and that must be part of the solution. If there is a solution.
How do we do that? How do we accomplish that goal? You're right. The mitzvah derabanan is rooted in the mitzvah doraisa. I mean, how do we accomplish that goal? You know, let me ask you a general question. Yeah, go ahead.
Don't we learn that the oral Torah was transmitted to Moshe, but it didn't get written down? And it was up to the Rabbanim over the years to reveal this. So the seeds probably were there then.
Good.
And then.
But my only problem is, you're all correct in your assumption that the root of the mitzvah to Rabbanon of Chanukah, according to the Ramban's presentation, is in the mitzvah d'oraisa of Ner Shebemigdash. Obviously, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Ner Shebemigdash applies only to the Beis HaMikdash and is only obligatory on the Kohanim exclusively. And it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah d'rabbanan, which came into being, which emerged at a much later period of time, as you point out so well, is a different mitzvah entirely. It doesn't apply to Beis HaMikdash. It applies in everyone's house. It's not limited to Kohanim. It applies to every Jew. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But really, what I wanted to ask you is, do we have any sort of mechanism or framework for connecting a mitzvah d'rabbanan to a mitzvah d'oraisa? Does anybody know what concept I have in mind? In other words, every mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash is d'oraisa. Is there a mechanism by which we could subsume and define a mitzvah d'rabbanan as connected to the mitzvah d'oraisa of Mikdash? Avi? Avi wanted to say something before, and I just, you know, just wanted to give him...
No, I just want to say before, and that to me the most strangest thing is that he gives Aaron a present or a command that all the Jews will do, not only
right.
The Kohanim.
Right. But he does point out, Avi, let's not miss though, that, you know, I asked you to underline it. He says, Ani osa ba li Yisrael al yidei banecha.
But we all like it. I'm an Israeli.
But you're lighting because of the Kohen. That's why you say the Ramban is saying that when you light and I light, I'm not a Kohen either, it's because of the Kohen. That's what he says. Al Yedei Banecha.
It shows.
Now, who are the Banecha here? Which Kohen? Josh?
I just want to make 2 points. One is, my thought would be that the fact that there became about this mitzvah that was midrabanan, that's obligatory on all Israel to light menorahs forever, shows Lamafreya, it shows retroactively the specialness to how great that mitzvah must have been. It tells us something about how great that mitzvah was. That's number one. The other thing I was saying, this is a different answer to your other question. I was just thinking of the idea that the Rabbanim were misaking the tefilos, the Amida. The Amida was, Chazal say that the tefilos that we have, the Shemona Esrei, is keneged the Korbanos. In place of the Korbanos, or keneged the Korbanos, I don't know, I was thinking of that as possibly a model by which we have, there's a derisive din of bringing Korbanos, and when the Korbanos stopped, the sages instituted tefila keneged the Korbanos. Maybe that's
Well, I'm definitely on board with you that tefillah is certainly relevant to our whole discussion, but I meant something much more global. What is it that operates, the mechanics of which is to take the Migdash and apply it even after Churban HaBayis? It could be that tefillah may be possibly
is like that. The Beis Knesset is also.
Again, I'm looking for a concept. You're giving me examples.
I don't know.
The concept is called Zecher LeMigdash.
Oh, okay.
For example, the Gemara says. What do you say?
Korech.
Excellent. Korech. I had an example before Korech. I'll tell you why my example comes before yours. Because the Gemara actually asks in Masechta Sukkah, how do we know that the Rabbanon have this mandate in the case of lulav to institute a mitzvah of lulav for all 7 days? This was the takana. Anybody remember who made that takana? Why do we take the lulav for all 7 days? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
We don't use it on Shabbos.
Okay. You really get me off on a tangent here. Leave out Shabbos. Imagine there's no Shabbos. For 7 days as opposed to 1 day, the Torah requires me, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, to take the lulav only on 1 day. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who lived at what period of time, Rabbi Osai? At the time of the Churban, he instituted what's called Zecher LeChurban. Just like at the time the Migdash stood, we took the lula for 7 days, because the Torah says, "Usmach them lefnei Hashem alkech v'shivas yomim," and the Gemara tells us that was with lula. After the Churban, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai institutes lula of kol shiva begvulin outside the Migdash. Why? Zecher leMigdash. And the Gemara in Sukkah asks, I think it's Nunbeis, asked the question, Minayin, where did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai come off? He was the first one to institute this Zecher LeMigdash. Later we're going to add a whole bunch, you know, like Korech, you know, Leil Pesach, and Morar, according to most Shitas, except for Rabbi Daniel Ababli, who thinks that Morar is the Raisim, is vice versa. Many, many different dimensions of Zecher LeMigdash. And if you take a look in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, if you ever get a chance, under the Erech Zecher LeMikdash, he's got a whole bunch of things that were instituted Zecher LeMikdash. I'm not sure if Tefillah is on the list. I'm not sure. Tefillah might have a different mechanism. So the Gemara answers, based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, who says that Tzion Doresh Ein La. He bemoans the fact that no one is a Doresh Tzion. Says the Gemara Michlal, what do I see from Yeshayahu HaNavi? Deboi Drisha, that we have to be Doresh the Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean to be Doresh the Beis HaMikdash? So I heard once from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, he said that we have to imagine as if we were inside the Beis HaMikdash. Not that Zecher LeMikdash means let's learn the history of the Beis HaMikdash. No, that's not what it is. We've got to experience the Beis HaMikdash. There's another mitzvah called Imesh Kachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Kimini, that's called Zecher LaVelus of the destruction of the Migdash. That's called Zecher LeChurban. We're not talking about Zecher LeChurban. We're talking about the Mikdash B'Tif Arto in its beauty and its glory. So I think what the Ramban is doing over here is he's subsuming the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah under this general category, the rubric, which is called Zeichel HaMikdash. And the kunz here of the Ramban is that Zeichel HaMikdash means that we continue the original mitzvah that was fulfilled in the Mikdash, albeit in a different form. We no longer have the Mikdash. Obviously, if I take the lulav 7 days after the Churban, I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah of Smachtim Lifnei Hashem because it's not Lifnei Hashem. But what it is a semi-duplicate of the original mitzvah which we're implementing in order to re-experience the Mikdash. That Zeichel HaMikdash takes a certain dimension of the Avodas Kohanim, in this case the menorah, and converts it into a mitzvah noheges li'olam. Now it's that very mitzvah of Ner Shem HaMikdash now continues even after Churban in a different form through the mechanics of Zeichel HaMikdash. By the way, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, this is on the side, he says that from the Ramban, it seems that the Chashmonoim, when they lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, right, this is midway through the 400 plus years of Bayis Sheni, right, the Chashmonoim right down the middle there, Garmu, they were the ones who caused Bekach, HaKoach Lahadlik Ke'ein Menorah. Interesting. He comes a little bit short of saying it's a Zeichel HaMikdash, but he's saying there's something called Ke'ein HaMenorah. I once saw a publication called Morias. Anyway, they have a Ksav Yad. They have a manuscript which they claim dates back many centuries, and it was originally authored, again, it was copied of the Ravid. And the Ravid wants to know, am I allowed to take a candle on Hanukkah and just plop it down on a table or a sill or wherever it is that I eat? Or do I have to have a Chanukiah? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Can't you just put it to a potato and it's okay?
Yeah, so technically, according to Halacha, this Ravid is not even mentioned in a footnote. The Ravid says that you have to light the candle in a menorah. Why? Because that's where they lit, that's how they lit the candle at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Since they didn't take a candle and just plop it down, but rather it was inside a kli, which is called a menorah, we too have to put our candles in the menorah. And when I saw this Ravid, I became very happy about an experience I had when I was dating. I remember I went out with a girl, and it turned out that as I came to her house, they were lighting Hanukkah candles. This is in Borough Park. Does anybody know what Borough Park is? You've heard of it? Okay, that's where, what did you call it, the fancy people live? What was the word you used?
No, I never used it. No, it's for where my rabbi is.
Yeah, well, anyway, the upper class people live in Borough Park, some of them. And I don't want to go into detail because it might sound like Lashon Hara, but they spend a lot of money on a lot of different things. And I came in, and you got to imagine the scene. They actually have steps to climb up to the menorah. The menorah is humongous, and it's made of gold. And for years afterwards, I was upset. Why? Because there's a mitzvah called Zekeli V'Anveu, which is Hidur Mitzvah. Okay, you know what Hidur Mitzvah means in Er Hanukkah? The wicks, the oil, the light, the flame, the shalheves, not the menorah. I don't even need a menorah for the mitzvah of Hanukkah. When I was in the dorms in yeshiva, we didn't have a menorah. We just plopped down a table. We melted it down, you know, wax candle onto the sill. Ah, the Ravid Shita. I'm not sure that he knew it, but the Ravid Shita is that you have to light a menorah. No, if you have to light a menorah becomes a chef shal mitzvah, and therefore has that kind of thing. In any event, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that it was the Chashmonoi who gave us the koach to be madlik a menorah b'chol beis Yisrael shim lokein. If you're not going to attribute to the Chashmonoi the power that we have, the ability, the energy force that we have to light the menorah on Hanukkah, then Kasha Lav and Kavanosa, how do you understand the Ramban? And I think he's focused on these words in the Ramban, Vani Ose Ba Li Yisrael, I'm going to give Klal Yisrael a menorah, Al Yidei Banech, through the Chashmonoi. Okay. Now let's take a look on page 2. And before we go to page 2, I just want to mention that the Baal Amor says at the beginning of the second parak of Shabbos that if a person wants to eat on Friday night his Sudas Shabbos to the light of the Chanukiah, of the candles, which means that it's not called Bizui Mitzvah if you're using one mitzvah for the sake of another mitzvah, right? It's only Bizui Mitzvah if let's say I have a Nair and I want to use that, you know, this is a Nair Mitzvah and I want to use it for my own, you know, purposes. So that I'm not allowed to do. But for another mitzvah I'm allowed to. Says the Baal Amor, no. In the case of Ner Chanukah, you are not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah even for another mitzvah. Are you familiar with this Baal Amor? He says, Haneros halolu kodesh, ve'elon reshus l'shtamash v'me'a, afilu l'tzarech mitzvah. It has nothing to do with Bizui Mitzvah. It's a separate halacha. Why? Zecher l'neros shebehechol, Shekodeshem, the Asal Ishtabish Ben Nafil Tzach Mitzvah. That if I was in the Heichal at the time of the Beis HaMikdash and I wanted to enjoy the benefit of the candelabra, the light coming from the menorah, for my mitzvah, whatever my mitzvah is, I would be enjoined from doing so because it's Hegdesh. Hegdesh is Asar Banah. It has nothing to do with Bizui Mitzvah. And the Baal Amor applies that to the Archanic. I think it makes sense in the light of this Ramban, because the Ramban is saying that we've duplicated, no, I think I can use a better word, we've extended the mitzvah of Ner Shebemikdash in a different form, and now it's in the Ner Chanukah. So number one, we have the Ravid, that is a requirement of menorah. We have the Baal Amor that says you're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah even for benefit, that's Litzarek Mitzvah. And then there's another famous issue, which I don't want to get into because that'll take me an hour, about the nature of the bracha, because the bracha is lahadlik ner Chanukah. What bracha we make on Megillah, who remembers? Al Mikra Megillah. So the Rishonim want to know, why is Megillah with an Al and Chanukah with a Lamet? So some Rishonim want to say that a mitzvah derabbanan is Ke'en Rishus. Again, that's too complicated for us now. And if we make a bracha with an Al, but in the case of Ner Chanukah, it's not a Derabbanan because it's given the same bracha of the Neiros Shebemigdash. And since the Neiros Shebemigdash was a mitzvah d'oraisa baloscha, they've no doubt they made a bracha with a lamed, like any other mitzvah d'oraisa. And therefore the bracha lahadlik, which was originally formulated on the mitzvah of Ner Shebemikdash, was continued even after the Churban in the form of Ner Chanukah. But you see again that this framework, which we call Zecher LeMikdash, in which we take a mitzvah of the Mikdash and we extend it, applies to Ner Chanukah. But all this, Rabosai, is al derech hapshat. But you know that the Torah has two parts to it. It's got pshat and sod. And Rabbeinu Bechaye, who is one of the great Talmidim of the Ramban, sometimes gives us sod, which we can actually have a grasp. And usually I skip those Rabbeinu Bechayes because he gets really Kabbalistic, a lot of number games. But in this case, I think he gives us a little bit of an insight into what Ner Chanukah is all about. And he says the following. In Tadaktik Beloshan Akosim Timtsuki Hoyolo Loma Ya'iru Sheshes Haneiros Shari Mul Pnei HaMenorah Hu HaEmtza'i. So the Mul Pnei HaMenorah would be six candles, because they're all told seven candles. V'chol HaShisha Yuponim Kenegno. So it should have said Shisha, not Shiva, if it's El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, which is the Ner HaEmtza'i. Al Derech HaPshat, he says on one level I can give you a technical answer. And you read the pasuk like this: Baloscha saneros el mul pnei amenorah tale osam ve'ivo yiyu shifa. You should be mala six candles together with the candle
in the center,
and therefore it's all told seven. So you could get away with it. But he says al derech ha-kabbalah, These are typically the Rabbeinu Bachais that we skip. He says, HaKosuv Nachanu Baruch Kipshuto. If you accept the Kabbalah, then you can read this pasuk beautifully. Wunderbar. Kipshuto. V'medaber b'menorah shel mala. Wow. There's the menorah on high. Our menorah down here is corresponds to the menorah up on high. It's like Yerushalayim Shalmat to Yerushalayim Shalmat. Upirusho, now we can reinterpret the pasuk El Mul. What does El Mul mean? Yomar Kineged HaMenorah Shalmala. Aaron is instructed to light the menorah down here in such a way that it should correspond to the menorah up in the heavens, up in the Shamayim. And why the seven candles? Of course, we all know the significance of number seven, especially Yad Kislev was just yesterday, I think. Shehen Sheva Sfiros B'Chachma. There are seven Sfiros in Chachma. Now, the menorah always represents wisdom, and there's seven branches or disciplines of wisdom. Ya'iru Shiva Saneros Shalmata. So again, the Keneged here is El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Lamala. And down here, Keneged, the seven branches of wisdom up in Shamayim, on a very abstract level, we light seven candles down here on earth. Ulefi Daiti. Sod haloshen shahotzi adlok b'loshen aliyah. Why does it say over and over again v'haloscha? Right, it's always let the candles go up. Why do the candles, the flame, have to go up? V'haloscha sederos v'yomer hala anerosel v'yomer v'halos aron sederos v'yal aneros. This is all because the aneros are going up keneged the menorah shalmala. Now, of course, I'd like to understand. On one level, technically, you know, the Ramban is telling me that there are two menorahs. You know, there's the menorah, the big time, you know, the big shofar up on top, and then there's the little shofar down here. But on the other hand, what is the deeper meaning of these two ideas? Now, let's add another question, because sometimes when you add another question, it helps, believe it or not. That's counterintuitive, but Rashi says, why does the pasuk, again, if you have page 1, you can look at the pasuk again, it says, Vayas Kein Aaron. Why does the Torah have to emphasize that? Says Rashi, Lahagid Shvachu Shal Aaron Shloshina. Aaron did exactly as he was told. So what's the Havamina here? Well, Salka Daitan Havamina that Aaron would not do as he was told. Kamashman, he did as he was told. And where else do we find in any of the other parts of the Mikdash, the Mishkan, that we find in the Torah has to give us a shvach to Aaron that he did exactly as he was told. And here we have the Malbim. You know, the Malbim lived about 120 years ago. We're not going back too far in history. Yodua, he says, Shaneros Hamnora Hayameir Or Hagonus. There's something called an Or Hagonus. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the first day of creation, he said, Yehi Or, that R was meant to be a double kind of R. There's, on the one end, you know, the regular light that we need to cook with and to see with and to illuminate our house. Then there's something called an R, which is misofo and v'ad sofo. Somehow it gives us, gives man the ability to see things to the end of the universe, to really see the deeper concealed meanings and the hidden secrets of the universe. However, man lost his rights to that Or HaGanus, and it was hidden. Hopefully to be revealed to us, in Yirtz Hashem.
It is tough for the tzaddikim we have
to. Yeah, and that's us, right? Okay. Because we come on a Wednesday, on a Tuesday night, in the cold, not Ottawa cold, but it's not Canada, I'm not comparing. But, you know, we come together to learn Torah, that makes us tzaddikim. Ubi Yerushalmi Omar, the Lazer, therefore, lo nichtav vayehi chen b'maisa yom rishon. On every other day, God commanded the creation of something, and then it says vayehi chen. There's only one day where it doesn't say it, and that's the first day of the seventh. Mishum she nignaz or ganus. Because, in effect, the divine will or imperative was not implemented because only one or was created, not the or ganus. There's one day that's sort of hanging, suspended in air, in mid-space, because its creation was never actually implemented, or only partially implemented. But Viata, at this moment, This is the Malbim's introduction to Parshas Baloscha. Nishlema Brias Yom Rishon Al Maskunto. The original creation of R on the first day completed itself. Vizeo Shekos of Ayas Kein Aaron. Right? Because it should have said on the first day of creation Vayehi Chen. So the Chen, which indicates that the creation was implemented as God commanded, which was omitted in the story of creation, was now given to Aaron. Vayehi Chen. Vayas Kein. What is Vayas Kein Aaron? Aaron Tikein Milas Kein. I find this very fascinating. I don't know if you enjoy this.
Very much.
It's not, you know, the Torah is a lot deeper than we think it is. You know, there's a missing word Cain, there's a word Cain. Like, it's all, you know, at one level you say it's very technical and like, who are you fooling here? But when you think about it, it's really fascinating that there's something here in the menorah. And again, this will shed a whole new, pardon the pun, a whole new light on why there is a nechama to Aaron through the mitzvah of Hadlakas Haneros. Because what Aaron is going to do now is he's going to accomplish something that wasn't accomplished on the first day of creation. And therefore, Aaron tike milas kein mibriyas yom rishon shayelo lichto vayhi chen v'alzeh omar shloshina. What does it mean, shloshina? Uksiv vayhi ar shelo nichtav Bishar Yomim Vayehi Chen. Kenichta Bishar Yomim. It's not the same as the other days, right, where it says what? Vayehi Chen. So the Vayehi Chen was left out on Yom HaRishon. And instead, what do we have? Vayehi Or. There was Or, but not Chen. Not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. Is that now we have a whole new approach to understanding what is the nature of the mitzvah of Ner given to Aaron in the Mikdash. It was a mitzvah to complete the original incomplete creation of Or, and the other half of the Or, which is maybe the more important half, the Or Ganus, is now going to be revealed in the Ner Sheva Mikdash.
It's answer also why it's so important that he chose this gift and not Yom Kippur or whatever.
Correct. Now we begin to understand why the Nechama to Aaron is going to be with the menorah, because the menorah now has a unique role to play that we don't find with regard to any other dimension, any other part of the Avodah. And the question is whether we can use this Malbim for our purposes to understand the Ramban in connecting the menorah to the Ner Chanukah. Does the Ner Chanukah have anything to do with the Or HaGanus?
Must.
I'm hoping so. I mean, this is what I'm banking on. Of course, I it's a little funny to say that because I wrote the text, so to speak. But I know it's coming around the bend. But before we get to see the Rokeach was one of these very holy people who had connections to worlds that we don't have connections to. And he's quoted here in Hilchas Chanukah saying that if you count up all the Neros of Chanukah, what's the magic number? Nobody here gets the Cleveland, you know, from Cleveland, you know, that tells yeshiva, you don't get that, maybe they don't do it anymore.
45.
You know, they send you the candles and they ask you for a donation.
Well, including the Shamash, it's 45, no?
Oh, so maybe without the Shamash. Anyway, the magic number is 36. There's actually a formula in mathematics to figure that out. If you add
7, 3 plus 6.
Yeah, but no, there's actually a formula.
Multiply.
You know, x. You know, in
to multiply one, but this is to add.
I don't know. Believe me, Ed, if you press me on it, my friend Alan Dubin, my close buddy, is a mathematical genius. He told me that there's a formula for this. So you don't have to actually count.
It's 36.
Okay, let's trust the Sefer Rokeach that it's 36. Okay, now what's the significance?
8, 2 plus 7, 3 plus 6, 4 plus 5.
Yes, and you get 36?
9 times
4
is
36. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. But again, it's a formula, because you know you can do it with 1 to 8, but if I ask you to do 1 to 1,000, you know, it might be a little bit more complicated. But there's actually a formula.
The last one, the second one of it.
In any event, what's the significance of the number 36? I mean, you and I would say it's twice high, but that's not the Rokeach.
But it's the key of the generation.
No, the Rokeach says the following: that the original R, which before Adam Arishon, you know, fumbled the bat in the football and messed up on the R Agonus, how many hours was the original R somewhere in the universe? 36 hours. Again, you can only know this if you communicate with angels or something. I don't know. But the Rokeach was up there. He says that the R Shen Ishtamish Ba'adam Arishon Isa Lamed Vav Shos until that R was taken away. So that's, it has to do with the 24 hours of Shabbos. And what are we left with? 12 other hours. Did I get that right? The 12 hours of Erev Shabbos. So 12 hours on Friday and then 24 hours. And then, 24 and 12, and then we get 36, and then the Motzi Shabbos that was gone, and that's when Adam Arishon had to create his own fire, which he did by rubbing two stones, according to the Midrash. So one of the great commentaries Al Pi Kabbalah is the Bnei Yisachar. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was the Din of a Rebbe in Galicia. And he has a famous drasha based on this Rokeach for Chanukah. And he says, "Hincha roe dvar shal Rokeach zal shekol dvar divrei kabbalah mipi Eliyahu." Why not? If you want to get the secrets of the Torah, why not go straight to the source? Go to Eliyahu HaNavi. The Amar Sheha'oras haMitzvah shal Ner Chanukah, the 36 candles that give out the light of Chanukah, who meha'oras are ganus. We're going to soon see, Rabosai, that the poskim actually encourage you to sit there for a half hour and look at the candles, so that somehow you'll be impacted by the Or HaGadlus. You know, this is serious stuff, Rabosai, you know. The Nikba L'doros Beruach HaKodesh. And this concept of the Or HaGadlus still being in some way in existence, and there's a semblance, or I guess a shirayim, this comes through Ruach HaKodesh. From the Sheyadu Shekol Shana Yizgala HaOr HaHu. There was a Kabbalah based on Ruach HaKodesh that every year, annually, there would be some sort of a revelation of the original Or HaGadlus that was put away. And we begin to understand now the Nechama that was given to Aaron. He's given the mitzvah of El Mul Pnei HaMenorah because the El Mul Pnei HaMenorah represents the Or HaGadlus. We begin to understand why this mitzvah of Ner Shebemikdash continues, albeit in a different form, even Liachar Churban, which if you remember was the Medrash Yelamdenu. And the answer is because the Ner Chanukah has the same Or HaGadlus, albeit in a different form, that existed in the Ner Shebemikdash. We begin to appreciate Eilon Rishus L'shtarish Bem El L'rosom Vilvad, and all the emphasis here is on L'rosom, because we don't have the ability, we're not great enough on that level to enjoy the benefit of the Or HaGadlus. But what we can do is we could see it, Vilvad, in other words, that's the best we could hope for. And perhaps the word Bilvad is a remez to the Lamed Vav, because if you take the Beis, the Lamed, or take the Lamed and then you add the two Beises, which is 4, and the Dalet, which is 4, you end up with 36. 2, 4. No, wait a minute, that didn't work.
Levad out. Alone.
I'm sorry, Levad, yeah. Levad. In the word Levad, yeah. Correct. So now, let's take a look at the Netziv Mivalojim. And I'm hoping we'll get to the Maral soon, okay, which is on your page 4. But the Netziv, who's the great Rosh Yeshiva Lojin and authored a commentary on the Torah called the Hemek Dover, he writes that Yesh Ladas, the Or HaTorah, that the ultimate objective or purpose of the Mishkan is the Torah itself. And where was the Torah placed? In the Aron, right? In the Aron. And if the Torah is going to, if the Aron is going to host the Torah, then what's the purpose of the menorah? And he writes the following. He says, "Ikar ha," I'm sorry, I lost it here. Just one second. It's going to be Ikar Hamashra Shechina Biso. So, what brings down the Shechina for Israel? Torah. Torah is the most powerful force to bring the Shechina down to Israel. There are many, many proofs for that. But he says that's going to come in two different forms. Number one, in the form of the Aaron, which had the Luchos HaBris in it, and in the form of the menorah. V'nishtanu pu'loseihem, and each one had its own unique function. Ha'aron bo liyud hadibros shebektav tzivui kabbalah shebal peh. The Aaron was there to emphasize not only the Aseres HaDibros, which is called Torah shebektav, but also the Torah shebal peh. Now, you and I would say, wait a minute. If the Torah is the Ikar Mashris HaShechina, the Torah has two parts to it, Torah Shemuksav, Torah Shemal Peh. So the Aaron accomplished everything. Well, there's no room for anyone else here. You know, it's like you gave out all the seven aliyahs, so where do I shine? You know, you gave her the Torah Shemuksav and the Torah Shemal Peh, all to the Luchos HaBris in the Aaron. So what's left for the menorah? And this is the Netziv at his wonderful best. I mean, he's always his best, but this is so typical of the Netziv. Says the Netziv, Torah Shebektav and Torah Shebal Peh is not the end all and the be all. There's something even greater than Torah Shebektav and Torah Shebal Peh. How can there be anything greater that supersedes Torah Shebektav and Torah Shebal Peh? He says, Koach HaPilpul VaChidush, the ability of man to come up with his own insights, his own creations. And I've seen it left, right, and center. When a great mind analyzes Torah and he comes up with a new idea, which could either be a new perspective or definition of an old idea, or a set of halachas for finding the structure, or alternatively, to come up with a new scenario which requires you to redefine the halacha, it's all koach hachidush. My Rebbe Zichron Levach wrote a book, an essay called Halachic Man. Half of that essay is about the koach hachidush. He says, "Sheyachol adam lechadish me'atzmo dvar halacha sheinu mekubal." Meaning, it wasn't transmitted. Again, you're right; it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, but it was never revealed. V'lazeh koach hanifla, that's called Talmud. V'nitan, where does it go? What medium brings down the Shechina of koach haTalmud, koach haChidush? That's the menorah. Why? Because the menorah integrates the Sheva Chochmos, the seven higher spheres of intellect or disciplines of wisdom, V'chol Kochos HaNidrash L'Pilpula Shel Torah. Unbelievable. So the Koach of Torah comes down to us and is received through two different Kalim, he says, two different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. One is the Aron and one is the Menorah. So again, just to summarize, the unique significance of the Aron expresses itself in three different ways. Number one, I meant to say the menorah. The uniqueness of the menorah expresses itself, number one, in terms of the ability to bring the Shekhinah through the menorah. Number two, the ability of the menorah to reveal the Or HaGanus. And number three, the ability of the menorah to give us the Sheva Chochmos and the wisdom which will allow us to create in Torah. Then the Netziv goes on to describe what went on during the course of history, and he says that Dafka at the time of Bayis Sheni, which he says, Rabu Yeshivos Vamidu Talmidim Harbe Lahavayos Dabaye Varava Shahua Talmud Mishum Hokin Neschazi Kokam Noral Yidei Nes Chanuka. Now, this is an interesting phenomenon here. According to the Netziv, the great miracle of Chanukah and the menorah of Chanukah is a reflection or an expression of the strength that we need to take Torah Shebal Peh to the next level, namely to the level of Koach HaChidush. That has to be understood. But since we're running out of time, and we do like to touch on the morale, let's see if in the next few minutes, and we don't have many minutes, unless you can stay over time, the morale is worried about a certain Rashi. The Pasuk says, V'zeh Maisa Menorah. Now, whenever the Pasuk says V'zeh, it indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed with his finger. And Rashi says, why is it that Hashem had to point with his finger when he commanded Aaron to create the menorah? I didn't put Pasuk Dal in here.
Moshe was commanded.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Just trying to follow you.
Yeah. It's good that you caught me on a mistake because it shows that you're following me.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Of course, I deliberately made that mistake to test you to see if you're following me.
Okay.
Either that is because it's my fifth shiur today and I'm a little tired. But, okay. Nevertheless, what went on over here? So Rashi says, Lefishin is kasher ba ulekach nemar zeh. There were three kelim that Moshe had trouble with, because whether it's the kruvim, or the chatzotros, or the menorah, they all had to be made miksha achas. They had to be hammered out from one piece slab of gold, of metal. Anyway, the menorah was particularly complicated because it had yirecheo and percheo and so forth and so on, and therefore, what happened is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe some sort of a vision of the menorah. That's called Zeh Maisa Menorah. So Maharal Prag, in his super commentary on Rashi, which is called the Gur Aryeh, has the following problem. Tomar V'arei B'parshas Truma U'B'Somach Gamkein Rashi Pirusha Nasa Menorah Al Yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why is Moshe having trouble? He's grappling with the implementation of creating a menorah when Hashem made the menorah. And again, we're going to fast forward because of the lack of time. It can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the menorah, because there's a separate mitzvah to create the menorah, and that's included in a general mitzvah, number one. And number two, a specific mitzvah. This is a general mitzvah with regard to all the kelim in the Mikdash of ta'asu. Ta'asu means the human involvement. And number two, specifically with regard to the menorah, the Torah commands v'asisa menoras zahav. So it seems clearly that there's a mitzvah to create the menorah, and therefore how could we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the menorah? Because that would rob us of our ability to implement the mitzvah. Kein pirush. We have to reinterpret this, ki hishlech hakikar la'or, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to do at least the beginning of the action by throwing the glob of gold into the fire. Vaisa nasa menorah ba'esh kshayam Moshe makiv patish oleh, and somehow the menorah, once it was thrown into the fire, miraculously took on the shape of the menorah, and Moshe completed it with what's called a makir v'patish, the final blow, v'nasa kol, and then it was complete. V'im lo ayah yodea Moshe Rabbeinu tzuras ha-menorah eich yas aval yoda b'ezer mokam ha-gvim v'kaftor v'aprochim sham hayah makir. That's where he gave the last blow, v'naseis me'leha. So that there's a participation here, or shall we say an integration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the divine being, and his action, and Moshe Rabbeinu's action. It couldn't be pure the Ribbono Shel Olam, because then that would rob us of our human involvement to fulfill and implement the mitzvah of Hashem. And therefore says the Maharal, Kachu kol maisa shepoel Hashem. And this is indicative of everything that goes on. Hakol tzarech poel amata. In every case, man has to take the initiative down here. But the actual completion of the process is in the hands of Hashem. Hashem yisbarach gomer al yoda. For example, in the case of Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Vata harem yodcho bakeu. But even though Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up the staff, obviously it was God who split the Yamsuf. Ulefichach hayitzarech Moshe ladas, kol maisa menorah, he had to know exactly how the menorah would be created, the whole blueprint for the menorah, so that he could do Moshe the best or the maximum that he could do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gomer al yodo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed. And I think if we take this maral and maybe just plug it into the beginning of what we spoke about tonight, namely that the entire episode or endeavor of the menorah is all to bring down the Shekhinah and to get a glimpse at the complete state of Vayehi Ar, meaning the Ar HaGanus, in order to reveal things that belong to the higher worlds of the seven Chachmos. So man might say, well, these concepts and these objectives are beyond human achievement, and it's Ein Lanu Efshalut LaSig Et HaDavar, that we can't achieve it on our own. These are such holy things. But the answer is no. Even though at the end of the day we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's always got to be an integration of divine activity or implementation plus human activity. And that perhaps is what Chanukah is all about. We have to take the initiative, the Chashmonaim have to take the initiative, and at the end of the day, it's all B'yad Hashem, and he has to be Gomer. But it doesn't mean that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashkacha Pratit, and he intervenes on behalf of the Jewish people, that we can raise our hands and say, well, we're out of here, let God do the whole thing. No, we have to take the initiative. And Moshe commands the people of Israel that they have to go into the Amsuf. They have to take that initial step. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the rest. Moshe Rabbeinu tries to do whatever he can to be making the Mishkan, and then miraculously the Mishkan is erected. Moshe Rabbeinu has to do what he can to create the menorah. We have to do whatever we can to light the menorah. Now we want the Shechina to come down. The greatness of Chanukah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you know what? If you take that first step, I'm with you. I'm your friend. I'm your patron. I will complete the process. There'll be a Achdus in which we will be on a higher level because we take the menorah, we allow its aura to enter into our minds, our souls, and our hearts. Yiratzon may be his will that this Chanukah, starting in 3 days from now, we should be able to do this and live up to this great mitzvah, which is Zechel HaMikdash, a continuation, says the Ramban, on the mitzvah that was given to Aaron HaKohen, that unique mitzvah of the Neros of the Beis HaMikdash. Thank you very, very much.
What is the
significance of the number seven, you mean?
No. You said seven Chokhmah.
Right, the seven branches of wisdom. If you take a look at the Sephardic Siddurim, I don't think it's in the Ashkenaz, they have a picture of the menorah,
yeah,
and they tell you each one of the seven Chokhmahs, which are connected in a very arranged in a very specific way to the seven candles of the
correlation to the Tfirah. We're talking about wisdom in a different
I think if connection. I'm not mistaken, Chochmah is one of the ten spheros.
It is.
It's what you call Keter. And then after Keter, which is Chochmah Bina Medas,
right,
then we have the number seven.
The Chochmah is the second.
Correct. But then after we finish with what's called the Keter, which is Chochmah Bina Medas, then we go on to the seven.
Okay.
And that number seven is indicative of different kinds of patterns on the higher spheres.
We're saying that the wisdom of Chochmah, which is number two, is reflected in seven sphere.
No, I don't think so. I think that chokhmah belongs to Keter. That's something else. That's nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about the Sheva Midos. So the number ten.
So
the number ten really is a combination of two different things. So we shouldn't.
It's not really the
Chabad, you know, which is that's already Keter.
Okay, so it's not the wisdom.
Right. This has to do with this has to do with the other. Seven.
The other seven.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So we're not meeting, of course, next week. It's kind of a...
I didn't even think that there would be a change, but you're saying the Chanukah is not a good time to meet.
Well, that's what you're saying.
At this hour, they like candles. Okay.
Well, that's